started there to manage the base Cholamoid Sukkos Tavshin I Tavshin Pei Harav Pinchas Shneibal.
First of all, we have to thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for the beautiful Manchester weather. In the Surim it says, it's Rasemis in many places. So Chazal say, Shumim Simin Krula Bechag, that's only in Eretz Yisrael, where there's normally no rain. It's not a rainy season. But in Chitzlur, where it normally rains this time, it's not a Simin Krula if it rains. But if it doesn't rain, it's a Simin Bruche. So if we have such beautiful weather, and I'm Shelf Vata, so we have to thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for this weather. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tuf Reish Samach Zay, that when you go out of the sikkah, you say, Yerutzen Sheniske Leiche Besikis Oiroi Shelev Yusen. When Mashiach will come, there'll be a sikkah made of the fur or the skin of the Levusen. And really, so that's the chippah, which is the chippah for tzaddikim. We should be zoiche to sit in the sikkah of the oiroi shel Levusen. What connection has the sikkah with the sikkah's oiroi shel Levusen? It's a mekaze kolboy. In kolboy it says that Haram, I don't know who it is, Rabbi Nimoish or someone, when he's gezegen from the sikkah, he used to go up into the sikkah, sort of take leave of the sikkah, and says, Yerutzen shaleshune habu niske leiche besikkes oire shalavius. This is that called. There's another place, maybe there are many more, where it also mentions the sikkes oire shalavius. And maybe in both places we will try and same sort of what the sikkes oire shel avyusn is connected with the sikke. There's a gemura in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches. Very interesting gemura. It is negayet to Cholamoid, really, this gemura. Ha'oilech le'itztaninen le'karkim. Someone goes, itztaninen, Rashi says, mukim shemenakchen es ashor. I suppose it means something like we should do in some places, bullfighting, that they fight together. Menachem Shomes Ashor, that's what it looks like. Other lekarkim, mutze voisen shom, schoike letzunes, a circus, something like that. Harai zei moishev leitzen. It's a moishev leitzen. You learn from here these things brings a person to Bittel Torah. Very interesting gemara. If you're not allowed to go there, then this is actually Bittel Torah. You are going to a circus and you're not learning. So it means you're allowed to go to a circus. But it brings to Bittel Torah. What do you mean it brings to Bittel? Is it Bittel Torah or isn't it? And Arise Moishev Leitzim? What's it got to do with Letzulis? Well, a Moishev Leitzim could say something. Shnaim Sheyoshvim Vayim Banaim Divrei Torah, says the Mishnah, has a Moishev Leitzim. He should have said Arise Moishev Batlunim. What's it got to do with Leitzim? So the Yavetz, the Chusad Yavetz, Yosef Yavetz, Yavetz, says, explanation is, normally, if there's something interesting to talk about, you talk about it. Two people get together, the first thing they think, what's happening with Brexit, with Johnson, with Trump, the Netanyahu, there's something important to talk about. But they've got nothing to talk about in learning. It's very unimportant, the learning for them. So it's a Moshe of Leitzim. You're making Hazrashulam Letzunis of the learning. Azo Yizuk the Yavetz. It's Moshe of Light. But what does it mean, Harayze? The bring to Bittel Torah. In Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Shein Yid Gimel. Zeide, Hilches Zeide. Fangen, to catch him. Chais, you mustn't catch Chais on Shabbos. Hameshase cowboy, that is what it's called nowadays fox hunting. You send the dogs to tear the foxes apart. I don't know if nowadays it's allowed or not allowed. There was a law against it and for it. Depends. I suppose it depends for who you're talking about. For the elite, it's allowed, this fox hunting. Anyway, fox hunting on Shabbos is also b'shem tzeide. V'yesh omrim, says the Remu, af b'chol usim, b'shem moishev leitzim. It's also, anyway, in the weekdays as well, al smoishev leitzim, because of this gemara. This is only for moishev leitzim. Brings the Mishnah Bria, the darke moishev, to darke moishev from the Remu, v'lo yiske leishev b'sikis oire shelev yusim. One who engages in these sort of activities will not be zoiche to sit besikis oire shel avyus. What's the connection between fox hunting and sikis oire shel avyus? He won't be zoiche to be with kabel penai mashiach. Does that mean because he went fox hunting, he won't see the live to see mashiach? Liske leishe besikis oire shel avyus. To explain this, I won't saw explanation for Nepesa Rosh Hashiva, but I'll start something else which is connected. We all know, and we should know, that there is a Gan Eden and a Gehenna. What is the Gan Eden? Tzadikim, Yoshven, Atreshayim, Vereshayim, Venehenem, Izevel Shchide, it's Gan Eden. What's Gehenna? There's many, many different shittas. What the Gehenna is. In Rashi's Chochmah, for instance, it's plain and simple, a huge fire, and you burn it to cinders, and the heat of this fire is enormous. You can't imagine what the heat of this, and that is the Gehenna. Rabbi Yoina got a different explanation of Gehenna. It's a aish shel bisha, shame. When a person is shamed, he gets red in his face. But the shame will be so great, it'll be like a fire, it'll burn. The Belly of Lapi and Dr. Impajas Vayachi, level U, explained. He said, he was once in a shtetl, where he was, a Brit Azamasa. And someone moved in next to one of the Shiny Eden Finchtuch. He was a Talmud Chochem. And he told this neighbor, watch out for me, because, you know, I shouldn't take any of your things. He had a machler, a kleptomaniac, it's called, so I'll sklep sich to the hemd, a machler. Once in the middle of the night, this neighbor sees this Talmud Chochem come into his shed where he keeps his wood for winter, and he takes some wood from there. And as he realized that his neighbor is seeing him, he was so ashamed. You see, level you in Parshas Vayechi. He's so ashamed that for a whole year he didn't go out of his house. He didn't venture out of his house out of Bisha that he was seen. Although the neighbor told him, I promise you I'll never tell anyone. He was so ashamed he didn't want to go out of his house for a year. Gradually, the shame dies out. The shame on the other world, the Noilam Abu, is the same. Doesn't change. So it's like a aish shel bisha. It's such a shame that you burn for bisha. Rabbi Yoina said that's the Gehenna. There's a third explanation. Shaitan Seifer had told us, which is Talmud from Baal Shem Tov. He explained it in a couple of places, and I've seen it in a couple of Mrs. Wurim, say exactly the same thing. There is no such thing as a Gan Eden and a Gehenna. Kol Yisruel Yeshlem Chaylik Loilem Abu. It's exactly the same place, Gan Eden and Gehenna. What's the explanation? Same place? Not bad. They say the Rebbe Meilech, that's what the Kodesh of Magid said, after his patira of the Kodesh of Magid, Rebbe Meilech, his Talmud, was smiling. They saw him sitting and smiling. They said, what is smiling? He said, Rebbe Meilech came up on the other world. He was certain that he's going to Gehenna. Rebbe Meilech, course. So, and he came into the Gehenna, what he thought was the Gehenna. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So spiritually, so Azagita Bashefa was such a good Rabbi Yisrael. If the Gehenna is so good, how good can it really be the Gan Eden? He said, so the told us the Kurisha is the same place. Let's imagine someone who his whole life was toiredi. But of course you have disturbances, you have the gashmis to get things. You go up on Yana Welt, you've got nothing to disturb you. You've got a shas bavli yirishalmi safru safri to sefta mechilta ktsos breishi, whatever you want. The comfortable chairs, and you sit and learn day and night. That's Gan Eden. You all know that's what the Ponovi Jerov used to say when he was a child. What the Ruf said, what Gan Eden is, a Vilna Shas with his big lecht. That's Gan Eden. Now just imagine someone who his whole life, he was busy. Like she said, busy oiness. All day and night was running around. He never had a chance to sit and learn. Ah, a few minutes, he hopped up saddles. He came to that for Yoy Mashiach, fell asleep straight away. He had no connection with the Torah, no connection with the Gemara. It didn't interest him. It didn't interest him. Noch a Purfum, the noch a Purfum. That's life. And then, after 120, you sit him in a room, massive Surim Shafis, massive. All along, thousands and thousands of chairs. Maybe the comfortable chairs, weiß ich nicht. And everyone sits and learns. And you say, Boshe, come on. Here you are. For the rest of you. And for always. And now the world is never ending. It's not like life imprisonment here. 25 years and half goes away for bad behavior. You take away half. 12 and a half years, he's out. It's life imprisonment. He's never looked in a cipher. He's never learned more than 30 minutes in a stretch. He can't do it. You see something's bukharim. Anyone, he starts shaking his feet and his head. He can't. And you have to sit there for the rest. Tell it well. Is there a greater Gehenim than this? He says, that's the Gehenim. It's just, some of them imagine this. There's nothing to eat, nothing to drink. You don't get to sleep. There's no sleep on Yana Welt. There's nothing. It's just Gemure. Okay, you've got a choice. Bavli or Yerushalmi, you've got a choice. But there's nothing else. There's nothing else. Hayeshlechu Gehenim Gudel Mezeh. This, says the Tolish, is the Gehenim. For sure, like the Chazal say, at the Eibishter Yoytze Chama Menatika, Tzadikim is Rappen Bo, Rishur Medinim Bo. It's the same psalm for him, it's a Gehenim. It's a Gehenim. That's what the Tolish says, is the Gehenim. Explanation. We'll get back to this. Chazanish used to say, he doesn't believe that the Shagas Arya and the Vilna Guin had a tam and a piece of kegel. He doesn't believe so. That they enjoyed the piece of, they ate the piece of kegel. They don't believe that they enjoyed, because you can't enjoy learning and enjoy. There's a stira. I've said it many times. The Chazanish, Reb Chaim Brim, brings it in his cipher, the Talmud of Chazanish, Talmud Mivik of Chazanish, that they, someone was sitting and learning with the Chazanish, and they brought him breakfast. Oh, so he said, they bring me breakfast. So they said, Simon, I haven't eaten yet. So then I'll eat. If they wouldn't have brought me breakfast, I wouldn't have known whether I've eaten or not. He didn't know whether he's eaten or not. He didn't know. The Baron Kotler once asked for a coffee after dinner. So he said, you ate flesh. Oh, really? Didn't know. He didn't know they ate flesh. They ate, but they have to eat. You have to keep the body together. They had no connection with the food. The food didn't mean anything to them. They ate because they had to eat. The Baron Kotler had a certain amount he ate every day. And the family realized it's too little for him. So they decided, when they give him the flesh, to take all the bones out. And therefore it'll look less, so he'll eat a bit more. But he didn't. He ate exactly the same as he needed. Remontre Barnett, Reuven Nicholas' book, made a neder that he will only eat exactly what the body needs, not a drop more. Chassam Sofer said, to make such an aid, you have to have Riach HaKodesh. How can you know exactly what you need? So, that's what Chassam Sofer said. Those people had no connection with Gashmias. The more you're connected to Gashmias, the less you connect to Rochlias. We are normal people, we enjoy food. Rav Moshe Feinstein once said, never in his life, since he came of sense, since he was a boy, he never took anything in his mouth for pure pleasure. He didn't say he didn't enjoy food, that's what he didn't say. But he never took anything in his mouth for pleasure. He ate when he was hungry, he had to eat. If you think of it, never took a packet of crisps. Of course, not a chewing gum, zechenisht. But never took anything to eat. Unless he was hungry and he went to eat. But to eat for pleasure? Of course, we can't spring too much at one go. But the essence is, the more a person enjoys Gashmias, the less he enjoys Rochnis. Because these two things do not go together. Chazanish said it, many Gedolei Yisro said it. If a person's enjoyment in this world is real, proper, earthly enjoyment, he will not enjoy the next, he just won't enjoy it. So someone said, this is not a clue. Lo yiske, someone who is enjoying fox hunting, will not be zoiche le sikis oireshel of use. He says, it's not a clue that he will not be zoiche. He just won't be. He'll be the sikishel of use. Maybe go in. He'll look at it as a bunch of crazy people. What are you doing here? He won't feel anything. He just won't feel anything. He'll be there. Like he'll be in Gan Eden, but he won't feel anything. It's not a clue. Le yiske leiche be sikis oireshel of use means he just will not feel anything while he's sitting in Sikis Oyleshel of Houston, and he'll see all the tzaddikim enjoying themselves. He just doesn't know. What's the enjoyment? What's going on? And that's terrible. That's a real Gehenna. The Sefer Or HaMaya, he explains what will be Chevle Mashiach. Also, many explanations in Chevle Mashiach. So he says, Chevle Mashiach will be, Mashiach will come, everybody will be waiting for Mashiach. Mashiach is coming. A Mashiach will say a big drusha. And we won't understand the word he's saying. And we see Mashiach talking and talking and talking. And we don't understand the word. This will be Chevle Mashiach. What is the way we should be nitzel from Chevle Mashiach? Says the Or HaMaya. If you go to a shir and to a drusha, and you don't understand the word, but you're still sitting there and trying to concentrate in this chis, you'll be zoiche to understand what Mashiach is talking. Says Nora Mai. So Kapunim, you can't have both worlds. You can't have both. Either you enjoy Rochnis or you enjoy Gashmis. I've said it many times, but the Baan Kalina used to say, if the Balatavis would know the enjoyment the Tzadikim have from a mitzvah, especially from Shabbos, and he's not talking the spiritual enjoyment, physical enjoyment, the actual simcha they have, they would leave all their towers and become elchein, because they really enjoy. They enjoy it. They live from it. The Briskeruv was once asked how the Belzeruv lives. They asked the Briskeruv. He hardly ate. He hardly slept. And when he ate, he threw it out. He didn't swallow it. How can he live? So the Briskeruv said, what's the question? You can live from Rochnis. I mean, it seems he knew it. You can live from Rochnis. Of course, we shouldn't try it. And live from Rochnis. They would do it Moshe Chorkeve, first Chorkeve Rebbe. His daughter used to bring him in a coffee in the afternoon. That's what he, coffee. And she knew if the cup will be half empty, then he drank half a cup. If it will be completely empty, then he's surely put it in the drain, put it in the sink. She comes in afterwards and she sees it's empty. She starts crying. She says, Tata, if you won't eat or drink, you'll have no koyach. Person asked her, she says, koyach? Me failed koyach? He went up to his, he had a shtiel, as I, Kamoisha Kusif, originally a shtiel, and he picked it up with one hand. I'm not lacking in koyach. Someone who is duvik in a rabbinu shaloylim can go 40 days and take a Moshe Rabbeinu without eating. He gets strength from rochnius. This, of course, is made for great people. But the lesson, that the less you put your emphasis on gashmius, you enjoy more rochnius. It comes to a mitzvah. You feel something. It comes to a Shabbos. The Emre Chaim of visions. Shabbos was after in Tushinkov, given where it was, he had a very serious stroke. And therefore he was barely conscious for quite some time. And the doctor said that he should, even if he wakes up, he should not be told it's Shabbos. Well, it's Shabbos, because he'll get very very angry in himself, and he annoyed Shabbos, he's lying in hospital. So the next to his bed sat one of the Hausbucherim with his wochendige Rekel, so that if he gets up, he shouldn't eat the Bekische. And suddenly he gets up Friday night, in the middle of the night, and he tells this Bucher, what day is today? Is it not Shabbos? So he said, Rebbe, does it look like Shabbos? I'm dressed in my wochendige suit. I don't know. It feels like Shabbos. And I went back to sleep. He just got up in the middle of the night, but he felt the Kiddush of Shabbos. It's something of Shabbos. The tzaddikim, they have such a feeling in this rochnis. They live from rochnis. They live from it. But for us, the limit is, the less you dwell in the gashmis, the enjoyment, the pure enjoyment. Like someone said, this is sports. It was made by the Greeks, by the Yuvon. Enjoyment, leshem enjoyment. Nothing else. It's not something you get something from. Okay, you get a cup, maybe, a gold cup. But this sport is enjoyment. Not you have something, you eat something, you've eaten something. This is enjoyment, leshem enjoyment. That's yuvon. That's a hepecha toire. Enjoyment, leshem. But toire is toire dig enjoyment, it can be. This is Pshat in this Gemara. First of all, who am I to? That these things bring to Bittul Torah. Because if you really enjoy all these worldly things, then you will not enjoy Torah. Because it doesn't go together. You want to enjoy a Ktos, you want to enjoy a Pnei Yeshia, you want to enjoy a Nesivis. You can't enjoy it. It doesn't go together. And this Pshat, Lo Yiske Laishe Besikis Oireh Shel Avyusin, as I said, means he simply will not enjoy it. Because if you want to enjoy Olam Habo, you have to sacrifice something of this world. We call it a sacrifice, not even a sacrifice. The well-known storybook, All for the Boss, everyone knows this, Rebbetzin Shine, writes of his father, Reb Yaakov Yosef Herman. So this Rebbetzin Shine, after he got married, she went with her husband from America to Mir. We can understand the contrast from America to Mir. There was no running water, there was no electricity, there was no facilities in the house, there was outer house, outside. It was from even America in those times, but to go from America to Mir was a sacrifice. So when they went from America, Yaakov Yosef Herman told his daughter, listen here. People say, if you marry a ben Torah, you've sacrificed. And a kruve, the woman sacrificed in order to marry a ben Torah. If you marry a ben Torah, you can't go out so many times to the parks and to the zoos and to the circus. Because you have to learn. You're sacrificing. That's a mistake. You didn't sacrifice, the father told her. You had a schir that you merited to have a ben Torah as a husband. Don't look at it as a sacrifice. You didn't sacrifice anything. Forget. You achieved something. You got a ben Torah. So that's the way to look at it. If you look at it that way, it's completely different. You're not sacrificing anything. Forget. You're enjoying. Because the true enjoyment, everyone knows the letter of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish writes in a letter, in his whole life, he's never had any worldly enjoyment. My oilam, lohoili, shim hanue, ibe oilam azeh, from Gashmis to things. We all know, he wasn't never had any children, unfortunately. His Rebbetzin wasn't, was a bissel shaloi bedure de in, as they say. He himself once said that since he was 18, he is classified as a choyle, she yeshboi skune, she choyle lechallen ulav et ha-shabes. Since he was 18. A choyle, she yeshboi skune, he liked to be mechal ha-shabes. And he was the most happiest person on earth. He was always happy, they say. Always happy. He writes there, the whole hanua I have in life is lasos retzoim boiri. And there's not a greater displeasure than when I'm not able to do retzoim boiri. His whole hanua from life was lasos retzoim boiri. We can see in the, it's written, I don't know who wrote it, about the Yerisha when they, it's a tile, they made a chalike of the Yerisha of the Chazon Ish. So, the dire was not his. The dire was someone in America who allowed him to live in this dire. Chazon Ish wanted to pay rent, he wanted to take rent, he just took taxes, he wanted to pay chot shepes. The shas said to Ramayah Kerelitz, the brother, it's his shas. He borrowed it to the Chazon Ish. There was nothing. He left nothing like the shluka said, kaf shel charivim, and even so he was unhappy, he left something. He had nothing. He had nothing in his life of worldly pleasures. Absolutely nothing. He was a happy person. Because when a person is rochnistic, that's true happiness. That's the true inner happiness. I've said it many times. I tell the Rosh Hashiva, once went to Oisha noch Geld. Big Oisha, millionaire. Lived in a palatal house, palace. In American style, the first time messing with the English, how to live, the Americana. So this person asked the Tel Drashiva, I want to ask you something. I've got millions, live in a palace. I'm not really happy. I see on your face, that are you going around, schlepping yourself from town to town, from city to city, to machen Geld? And of course, on the way, you get some bezioinis as well, it goes with it normally. And you look such a happy person. You look such a happy person. Can you tell me the sod? Tell me the secret. So I'll tell you what. Happiness comes from the neshama. A person, so Kadisha's life, he says this, Gedank. A person sometimes feels empty. Something lacking in life. So he thinks, I'll make a new kitchen. And I'll bring along tiles from Spain. And floor tiles will be from Italy, and the lighting will be from China, whatever it is, then I'll really be happy. And he spends £50,000, a client, £100,000, a new kitchen, and he's very happy for 2-3 months. He feels lacking, something lacking. So he buys a new car, and vice versa. Jaguar, and one of my times, it was a Jaguar XJ6. That was their best. It was then, or before that, it was a Jaguar Mark 10. Then if people remember here, had a Jaguar Mark 10. That was, there were three styles of Jaguars. It was the best one. I'll buy a Jaguar Mark 10, actually 6, actually 12 nowadays. He'll be happy, very happy. Happy for 3 months. What's the matter? Why? Tell it is. The unhappiness doesn't stem from Gashmis, from the Neshuma. The Neshuma is lacking something, and he wants. And you're trying to make the Neshuma happy by more Gashmis. Doesn't help. So the Tel Drashiva tells this person, the reason why I am happy, because I've got a Rashba and a Ritz, I'm happy. Everyone knows Rabban Kotler once said it here already. Rabban Kotler once went to a big Oisha. And this Oisha wanted to show Rabban Kotler his house. So he took him into his kitchen. A kitchen. A hall. The kitchen was a hall. So what? So Rabban Kotler, so what? If you eat here from this kitchen, the food is better? The same food. It's an illusion. It's nothing. Ah, doesn't understand. You come to my dining room. Dining room. A Silberschaffer, China closet, as they call it in America, China closet. With silver, gold and silver. She says, what do you got of it? You don't even use it. It's all locked. It's nothing. Right, come to my bedroom. From the bedroom. Master bedroom. Four-poster beds and everything. She says, well, does it sleep differently? It's to sleep in the same sleep. It's an illusion. It's nothing. So he saw he's not getting anywhere with Rabban Kotler. So he asked Rabban Kotler, so tell me, Rabbi, what is happiness? What is real enjoyment? This is nothing. What's enjoyment? So Rabban Kotler got thrilled a bit, you know. He was a very fiery person. He said, a person has got a Shvera Rashba. Shvera Rashba. He doesn't. He plugs himself and he mitches himself in the Rashba. And suddenly he gets a blitz, he called it. A blitz. A flash. A lightning. And he understands the Rashba. This is pure enjoyment. And Rabban Kotler gave such a spring. He said, this is pure enjoyment. But, of course, if you don't understand what you're talking about, you don't know what he's talking about. What's enjoyment in understanding a Rashba? Someone once saw Reb Chaim Shmulevitz noch in his younger years. He came to the yeshiva in Mir. He's got a stick. And he came dancing. And he sprang up to the bench. And from the bench on the table. And he started dancing on the table. He looked at him and he said, completely queer. What happened? He said, well, he said, I swear a Rashba, for years and years I've been plugging to understand the Rashba. And I've understood it. He was dancing. And he was moving. He was really enjoying it. He was happy. This is true happiness, is rochness. Therefore, the more a person dwells and tries to take enjoyment from Gashmias, the less he will enjoy the happiness of rochness. This is what it means. The same thing as a sicker. A sicker shows a lack of Gashmias. You go out, okay, now the people have built sickers, but even so, the essence of sicker is sightseeing by you go out of the house, a little, I remember years ago, most people didn't have built sickers, little butkiller, it's cold, when it was wind, nothing much stayed of the sicker. I remember once, the last time we had a shed, Meshach was sick, three times the sicker flew away. This shows rochness. So, schiss a sicker, when we show that our main emphasis is in rochness, we will zoiche to the sickest oyrishel of yusen. Because the less you have in Gashmias, the more you have in Rochnis. I wish to help him. We should be zoiche to feel the beauty of Yiddishkeit, the beauty of Rochnis, and then we will all be zoiche to the sickest oyrishel of yusen.